Do you just leave it as is? Do you want to mess with something mid-season?
I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
I never stepped on the foul lines. Yeah. I put my socks and shoes on the same way. I'm just saying.
Malik cares. I don't think Malik cares at all.
I don't think it's about Malik. It's about the energy.
I think he'd be fine. It's a risk that I think we're gonna have to be
okay. But just
to take
just
the payoff is worth it.
The payoff is worth it. But just take me through this.
Yeah,
we go to Dave tomorrow, bright eyed and bushy tailed. Yep. Tomorrow morning, hey Dave, we have this great idea. Yeah. Dave says, "Wow, that's really awesome. No wonder you guys are the fastest growing show in Sacramento. I'm gonna take this to the Kings." The Kings say, "Wow, we never thought of that. This is a great idea."
Dave.
And Malik, right, well that too. Yeah, but then if Malik goes 2 for his next 20, we'll be like, that was Dave.
That was Dave. That was Dave. That was such a crazy suggestion.
I told him to leave it.
Yeah, that's right. It's like.
I told him to leave it.
Sounds like a win-win for us.
Yeah.
Because then those who know would actually know. But then if it goes bad, it's Dave's fault.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, man.
To me.
Sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes you should just leave things.
I think maybe if it were Keegan, I don't want to throw anything off with Keegan. He seems like he's very regimented. But Malik, vibes,
you need to
dude.
Turn Keegan
Malik,
on.
Malik, Malik runs on vibes.
That's true.
He brings it himself. And that's, this song is so vibey. It's like.
It's
It just fits.
We got to do it tomorrow.
We got it. Yeah, we got to make this happen.
Be sure tune in 9:40 tomorrow.
That's right.
Crosstalk.
That's
when
right.
We tell Dave our idea. Yep. Our as in all of us.
Yes, the collective we.
All of us together. That is tomorrow.
Everyone listening.
Yeah, the Sack Chat, the callers, the texters, everyone who's a part of Styles and Watkins.
You're responsible.
But if they don't like.
You're an accomplice.
But if this gets all the way up and it doesn't work out, it's Dave's fault.
Yeah. It was a caller.
Yes.
It was some caller. Definitely not Lawrence. Definitely no. And it was Dave's idea.
That's right.
Steven.
Steven's
fault.
Let's all be on one accord on whose fault it is. By the way, from Tin, Lam Chung Tin, Sacktown Sports needs merch to be available.
Ooh.
And so here's my question.
Yeah.
What would be on the Styles and Watkins merch, though?
Yeah.
We'd have normal shirts.
Yep.
Just has our logo, Styles and Watkins.
DJ Bedhead.
That's not even close.
He's getting a shirt.
No, he's not.
He's getting a tag. He's getting a little thing
wet
on the bottom.
Wet blanket?
Of the shirt.
Would you do a wet blanket shirt?
I don't think so.
You could sell a wet blanket.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. It's like a moist towelette, but like with a blanket.
Be really heavy.
Let us know.
Yeah, like a prop talk shirt or something.
Prop talk?
Yeah, like a dog segment.
Free cheese.
Beaming
on the back.
Or dreaming, where it's a guy's head and a bubble, like a thought bubble with a beam in it.
Beaming or dreaming. I like. Oh. Dog segment. We got something with the dog segment.
Right.
You have like an anamorph where it's you turning into a dog. You know what I'm talking about?
Probably not. We want people to actually want the shirts. Right.
That's hardcore, brother.
We want people to want the shirts.
Would anyone want a Lazazazical shirt?
Can we take that?
Just a ton of Z's.
What would that even? It would be just spelled.
Lazazazical.
Play it again, Nate.
Lazazazical.
Here, you want to see?
I spelled that. LACKZAZIKAL.
You want to? I spelt it in the system when I put it in.
Did you?
I had to. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
LAXAADASIKAL.
I like the X. I do like the X.
Because he's got that like.
Lacazegazul.
It's in there somewhere. What?
We need a Z in there.
Zazegazul.
Lacazegazul.
Sure, yeah.
And a G.
Z
and a G.
He adds so many letters to that
There might be a silent K in
and
there
a G.
somebody.
By the way, they showed a side-by-side of Zion. We talked yesterday how word on the street is that Zion and those
the
Pelicans.
Word is out.
The word is out. Zion has lost 25 pounds. They did a side-by-side. And I believe it.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me of those Ozempic
when they just
before
stand
and after.
Further away. We'll see. As long as he's,
I think it's just a good.
As long as he is on the court, I guess. Right.
On a side note, for that, I've heard stories of people taking the same pictures on the same, or the comparison pictures on the same day, where they go in and then they just
I can
suck
believe
in their
it.
Gut
different lighting,
tan up, yeah, change yeah. their clothes.
I can believe it. Nate, let's go to you since your mic's already on. Josh Dobbs, big deal, no deal, some deal.
I feel like you should go to Chris on this, but. It's basically a straight trade, Josh Dobbs for Sam Darnold.
Pretty much.
So I think peak Dobbs is better than peak Darnold, but Darnold's going to be more consistent. Whatever. Whatever, man.
Last season.
The question is, do you feel comfortable if Brock Purdy has to miss three games? Are you comfortable with Josh Dobbs for three games?
I'll be honest, I'm not comfortable with any backup quarterback for three games. Like, really, like, I'm stressed out about that. I think it totally depends on the streak of games.
Sure.
Who they're playing, obviously. I'll just be honest, I'm not comfortable. But if he's playing at that level when he got traded or when he walked into Minnesota for that first game, when he was a third
when he
stringer.
Didn't know the playbook.
Yeah. I think that shows a lot about him too. Like,
oh, he's a genius.
Yeah, he's what is he?
Aerospace engineer.
Aerospace engineer. So he's astronaut.
Yeah. Had that Madden Ultimate Team card. Yeah.
Astronaut without a P.
I'm nothing about this. It's a boring take. I have no hot takes today. I'm being a fence sitter. I'm sorry. It's just. Nothing.
Well, after Mason Jones yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. I get so sick of this backup QB talk when it's, for the most part, just going to be irrelevant. Because if they're in for the full season, season's a wash.
But that's the point, is that it might not be. Like, is Josh Dobbs a good enough backup quarterback? I mean, you saw, like, last year the Colts. Anthony Richardson goes out in week three. Season wasn't over. They still were competing throughout the year. The Niners ideally have enough talent to where if Brock goes down, like, the idea is that the season shouldn't just be over because he goes down in week three. Is Josh Dobbs a quarterback that you feel like is good enough to keep that ship from sinking for 13 weeks if necessary?
No. Just plain and simple, no. The way you worded that, just not backup quarterback, is he a good enough quarterback to do that?
Yeah.
No. That's it.
Interesting. Because that's supposed to be the point of the Niners offense, is it's supposed to be foolproof, right? That was the biggest criticism about Brock Purdy, was that, anybody, you put Gardner Minshew in there and he'll do Mac Jones. He'll do the same thing, if not better, right? Is that Orlovsky? I think that it's interesting. I mean, it is. I still don't think, even me as a Vikings fan who watched Josh Dobbs, the highs and the lows, I don't know which guy he is, because if he were as good as what he looked like for those 3 weeks, I think he would, A, probably still be a Viking, and B, he'd probably get a shot at being a starter. But he finds himself as one of the last quarterbacks in this market that got swooped up, and he signs for $2 million when guys like Sam Darnold and Marcus Mariota are signing for 8 and 10. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like he's – we just honestly don't know who he is for – a 10-week period.
I mean,
or is that who he is? He's just an up and down week by week guy.
But I don't know if this is a Josh Jobs decision or if it was the decision of the NFL. We talk about the rehab, the rehabilitation QB, and how Mitch Trubisky sat behind Josh Allen, and all of a sudden got a deal. Sam Darnold sits behind Brock Purdy. He gets a deal. Maybe Josh Dobbs is just saying, let me go to a successful team, because teams seem to sign successful quarterbacks that are on successful teams, even if they don't have to do anything.
Right.
Sam Darnold did nothing.
Right.
But they forgot how Sam Darnold sees ghosts, and now he gets cashed out again. So I think Josh Dobbs is maybe saying, hey, I'd rather, instead of, Maybe his value was down a little bit because of how things ended in Minnesota, and said, okay, instead of taking, I don't know, $4 million more,
right?
Maybe less than that, maybe $3 million more.
Yeah, to go play with the Saints or whatever.
Exactly, and mess around there. I'd rather just kick it in the Bay, okay?
Learn under
Shanahan.
Have talent all around me.
We go to a Super Bowl. Maybe I have to play a down or two and I make some moves. then I can up my value going into next season.
And you know what, too? Like, I mean, we joke that, I mean, not really joke, but he is a really smart guy. Wouldn't surprise me if this is, hey, best of both worlds. I get to be a backup quarterback, but also, you know, maybe in a couple of years my career doesn't go the way I expect it to. I can work with Kyle Shanahan, too. Yeah, I can be a part of his staff. Everybody talks about how smart I am. I'm a quarterback, you know. There's a really good opportunity to learn the Shanahan system, and maybe he could be, you know, find himself in that Brian Greasy spot.
That is an excellent point. You know? I've never considered that. That is that's great.
That's what Sims did too, right? Chris isn't one of them not Sims.
No, not Chris.
McCowns. The McCown brothers did the same exact thing.
Right.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Even outside of football, Silicon Valley.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Team up with Andre Iguodala or somebody like that.
There's
got to
be a NASA something
there's
out
something.
In the Bay, right?
Yeah. There's something. There's something. Yeah.
He's got Mythbusters out there, right?
There's plenty. So, yeah, now you have a backup to I guess pair with Brandon Allen, so that's your QB.
Oh yeah,
well, that's your QB room.
Shanahan's probably going to run with three for the rest of his coaching tenure.
Yes.
Brandon Allen been in the mix with the Niners the second time, so I honestly think I like Brandon Allen more than
he
Dobbs.
Might be. I mean, do we know that Brandon Allen's not the backup?
No.
Oh no, so. This will be the off season. This will be. I hate it, but it's just this is the main story. I mean, this is what people will be talking about.
But I don't think it will be Nate. I think last season.
Then what do you talk about?
I mean, I think
can you do it again?
Yeah, can you do it again?
Do you have
enough? I mean, I'm not going to say names, but there are people out there that still say, "Hey,
everybody else around you got better."
Yeah, and Brock. All right, can Brock do it again? I mean, you're only as good as your last performance. Brock played pretty well in the Super Bowl. Can he do it again next season? I mean, there's always going to be question marks for anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody is really proven.
That's why we have jobs.
That's right.
That's right.
Nobody is really proven until you got that Lombardi. And then once you do that, can you do it again?
That's right.
So I think that Brock Purdy doesn't have anything to quote unquote prove to the Niners.
Right.
That this isn't the offseason of can he prove he's the guy to the Niners. The Niners are fully all in.
Yeah.
Can he prove that he is the guy to some of the non-believers and run it back? And he's still going to have a great roster to do it with. When we get back, LeBron James launches another podcast with J.J. Redick. We have some sound, and it's for the thinking mind of the basketball player. Also, Chris and I saw something last night that would make Nate very, very upset. We've never seen it before. We've never seen it before. And maybe that's not to say it hasn't happened before. We haven't seen it. We will tell you what Chris and I saw last night that is going to grind Nate's gears. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. So if you were listening to yesterday's show, which why wouldn't you be? Nate comes out of left field with some things to say about, I promise you, you would never guess if you weren't listening or watching yesterday's show. Mason Jones caught the ire of Nate Littlefield, and Nate thought that it's just a little much. He's up, he's down, he's cheering, he's being positive. Why would he do that? Why would he cheer on his team? Why would he be a good teammate? It's so annoying.
That's what I said.
I hate it when people do that.
Uh-huh.
So Chris and I, we had some
being so positive.
We had some fun with it. We took a decent amount of calls, and Chris and I, you know, were at the game yesterday, and all of a sudden, we look to the left. And where we're sitting, that's where the Kings are sitting, and the game has already started. So Chris says, "Alan, look at this. And we look to the left, and the players that are not starting the game are huddled up. And you see JaVale McGee, he's the tallest one, JaVale McGee is in there, and I see him mouth the words, "Bench mob." And they do a bench mob huddle.
Like a bench mob on me, bench mob on three type thing.
they say, bench mob on three, bench mob. And they all go and sit down. So it's a whole thing. And I just know that's got to annoy the heck out of one Nate Littlefield.
I don't think I've made my point clearly or something, because my issue is with the guy who just got there and who's the
JaVale
new rookie.
JaVale just got there.
JaVale, well, not really. He's been there the whole season. Mm-hmm. And he's a Mike Brown guy. He's a veteran. He's a, what, three-time NBA championship, like a contributor. It's not the same. It's not, Chris, if we had a new guy come into the station.
That's me, but that's me. I'm Keon Ellis.
Okay, hypothetical new guy whose name is Palin.
No. Producer. Let's say new producer.
Okay.
I'm gone. I'm dead. Yeah, I'm gone.
Okay.
I'm out of here.
Wow. You don't have to.
New producer comes in, and he's in there every break, hyping you guys up, and he's just being annoying. He's just like, all right, guys, we're having a good show. We're having a lot of fun. I like what you guys are doing. Maybe, oh, no, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't give advice.
He doesn't give advice because Mason Jones allegedly doesn't do that. We don't know that, but in this scenario, he doesn't.
This is crazy.
This is nuts.
Dude, it'd be so annoying. You'd be talking to Alan and be like, dude, this guy is driving me crazy.
I feel like he really likes the show, though.
I think he just wants to change.
He wants to change the culture.
They just don't bench mob on three.
Do you guys not get annoyed when people like try super hard to be your friend or be nice or something?
I hate it.
That's different.
No, it isn't.
One goal, one dream, one beam.
One beam. That's right.
That's the Kings.
Here's how you help. Leave me alone.
Dude, teamwork make the beam work.
It's not even teamwork.
Chris. It is teamwork.
It is.
It's glorified
a whole
fandom.
It's a whole you have
mob,
JaVale
dude.
As they all have jobs. It's like yep. it's like
don't
the
bring
government.
Up JaVale. JaVale actually has played
it's like
too.
The government.
He's got three rings.
Has Mason Jones seen the court twice, maybe?
That's what's the problem?
Oh, my God. All right, I guess none of this matters.
Chris looked over, he said, Alan, look at this. And I honestly, when I saw them say bench mob, it really did hit.
Shut up. Shut up. You're just lying. You're just lying and leaning into some silly narrative to make me look like a fool.
No.
Like a self-absorbed, cynical fool.
No. I mean, it And didn't Coach Mike Brown say this is the most connected team?
He did.
That he's been a part of.
Who cares? Dude, that's also just not true.
What are you doing?
It's just you're bringing up you're taking the conversation somewhere else.
You're off the hinges the same way Malik Monk almost pulled the rim off the hinges with some of those dunks. You got to get it together, brother. Thank you. That's what you need.
You had to take a nap.
You need to relax.
Dude, I was chilling and you came in hot.
No,
we're gonna tell the story differently, and then we're gonna just disagree to disagree.
Chris. I mean,
I didn't know this was first take.
I feel like we're burying the lead here. The actual story is that there was a collection. They celebrated as a bench. It was the first time we have seen them come together as a bench.
Thank you.
And like actually take ownership of, hey,
we are bench
we're not
mob.
Just going to sit here and watch this game and have the best seats in the house.
That's right.
We're going to be active participants in this win, regardless of if we get minutes. Mm-hmm. Like Marcus Smart, man.
Yeah,
Marcus Smart.
Getting ejected, -2
dude.
With 0 minutes on the court.
I'll tell you what, Mason
dude,
Jones
never
been
than
a minus
Ja
two.
Did
he should be. He should be minus 100 for every clap.
Nah, he's
what
he's
are you
plus
talking
100.
About?
Every point was because
the bench
of his
mob thing doesn't bother me at all. I don't care about that. It's one. It's
okay. Okay, hold on. If Mason Jones said
bench
on
then
three,
I'd be upset.
You're
yes.
ridiculous.
No, that is silly.
Come
he's
on,
a new.
Man.
You have to like work your way into a relationship. You can't
come
just
on,
show
man.
Up and be the guy. Like JaVale McGee, why would he listen to that?
Hey,
dude,
look.
This is coming from a guy who let Richard Sherman take over his locker room. That's crazy.
That's right.
That's crazy.
That's right. Dude.
Richard Sherman always played for the Niners. He was never a Seahawk.
That's right. That's
what are
also
you talking
true.
About?
Patrick Donaldson, negative Nate, Manny Too Legit, whoa there, HF, Nate relax. Hey, I wanted to let you know. I felt like it was very important.
I don't care about the bench mob.
Okay. I thought that maybe you would care.
Wow,
I care when they're on the court and playing.
Wow.
Okay.
That's what I care about.
Dude.
Or when they're pulling Kevin Herter down because he's cheering at the wrong dunk.
That was hilarious.
I care about that.
That was great.
Curtis Hicks, Styles and Watkins, you need to... That's right, Curtis. That's right.
Read it before you say that's right.
Styles and Watkins, you need to design the Ellis Island shirts.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
We're pivoting, so Nate feels better.
See you guys.
We're pivoting.
It's been a good show.
So Nate feels better. Curtis, you're right on the money. We need to make a list of this. Nate, can you make a list? The first one is Bench Mob.
Yeah.
The second one.
I like the tag for Ellis Island. Tell me if this is maybe a little bit too getting close to the edge here.
Okay.
Ellis Island, where visitors aren't welcome.
We can't do
that. Yeah, you can't do that.
Because
that was the whole point of Ellis Island.
I know, exactly. Yeah, that's what makes it like this version
it's
of
not
Ellis
gonna work
Island.
For this G-rated station.
I got a text coming in.
That's true.
Okay, I got a text coming in.
I like it, though.
Thank you. From Whitey Gleason.
Never heard of him.
Maybe you should... Okay, so he says, maybe you should post a picture of Ellis Island only with Keon in place of the Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's cool. Or you get a picture of my face with Mason Jones' hair, and you put it on a shirt.
We're not doing that.
Yeah, there you go.
We're not doing that.
Alan needs all the clout.
Hey, man, look, all I did was... You know, investigative journalism. Yeah. And when I see that Bench Mob is literally, we broke the story that the Bench Mob is having their own huddle.
Having their own meetings.
Wow. Yeah.
Literally. I mean, I think you're taking this so personally when in reality, Chris, how many
this
times? Chris, how long have you been a Kings fan?
Way too
this
long.
This has nothing to do with the argument at all.
When have you, when have you seen the Bench have their own huddle and break?
I mean, it's happened a couple times.
Yeah, dude. This is so silly. It's not about the Bench Mob. It's about
Dante
one guy.
Green. It's been
Shumpert.
Shumpert. Scores are here.
916. Here you go. Mason Jones was balling in Stockton. JT was on a 10-day. He was less
has nothing
effective.
To do with his skill on the
he
court.
He was less effective than Mason on
that's
the
right.
bench. That's from
right.
Amid Rock.
That's right.
Hey, energy matters and momentum matters. When that's we return, right. LeBron and J.J. Redick have a new podcast. Will you be listening? And I hope you return. Not sure if Nate will. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. There is a new podcast, I guess you could say. You know when they say babies are born, what, every 10 seconds, 5 to 10 seconds? Can we find that? Is there a muse out there that would know a podcast is created every what? How many podcasts do you think are created every day?
Just in general, not necessarily sports specific, any podcast?
Any podcast.
250.
That's a great guess.
A day?
Yes.
Dude,
8 billion people.
Yeah, there's way too much access to ability. Because, like, it's too easy. Like, it's tough
gotten
to
the
make
mic
a YouTube
business, man.
Channel. You should have, yeah. Rhodes. Should
have gotten the mic business.
Rhodes, you'd be set. Blue, like the Blue Yeti, the Snowball, you'd be set.
Because this is crazy.
You'd be set. Logitech's even for
gamer
people
chairs.
Who are doing their... Gamer, dude. The amount of people who have gamer chairs that, like... Don't get it's just like, oh yeah, I just do podcasts, but I have a game. It's just like insane. Does Dave
Carmichael
have
Dave.
One? That makes so much sense.
They
exactly.
are probably comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new podcast, and it's LeBron James and JJ Redick.
New
and
media.
JJ Redick gets an opportunity to talk about basketball the way he wants to on a different outlet. He's got his own show, but I guarantee he will still go on First Take and complain that he cannot talk about basketball the way he wants to on that show as well, even though he knows that he won't be able to do that, and he gets paid either way. This is a clip from, and I thought it was a pretty interesting clip, talking about the two-for-ones situations that have really taken the NBA by storm. This is what LeBron had to say. This is a clip, and the first episode dropped today, actually.
I'm going to tell you what kills me.
Tell me what kills you.
The two-for-one shot. At the end of quarters.
Are you going on an anti-crusade against the two-for-one?
I understand why the two-for-one is important. Obviously, it's numbers. You get two possessions, the other team gets one possession.
In theory, it's a free shot.
In theory, it's a free shot. But what people sometimes don't account for, the four or five possessions before that, are we on a run? Are we on a heater? Have we gotten a good shot over the last 2.5 minutes? What is the other team doing? How are they in a great rhythm? If we haven't gotten a great shot in 2.5, 3 minutes, and we've been turning the ball over, why am I just going to dribble down and shoot a 40-footer with 33 on the clock?
Mm-hmm. And that's what you can expect right there. I mean, I'll be tuning in.
You are going to?
I will definitely be tuning in, for sure. This is like...
That's real hoop head stuff right there.
That is my kind of content, absolutely. I can't wait. I can't also wait for LeBron to... I can tell in the tone of his voice... He's ready to drop another thing that he knew before everybody else.
well, hold
favorite.
On.
That's my favorite saying. That's my favorite saying. I always say that. That's my favorite saying.
We have to explain the visuals too. It's LeBron and JJ facing each other. There's no mics, mm-mm. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. There are no mics. It's not your normal setup. And there's about three bottles of wine on the table.
Understatement. There's like five bottles of wine and two glasses. And they're just talking basketball. I mean, I view it truly as like, you know, how often do you actually get to hear somebody who is undeniably the best at their craft openly? Like, this is like hearing Mr. Beast talk about YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get that kind of access often. Michael Jordan isn't out here talking about basketball. And so, yeah, like, I'm incredibly interested, and I can't wait to hear how LeBron just thinks about those things. Like the 2-for-1. Like, I bet he's got tons of... just thoughts on all of the tiny little things in basketball. I can't wait for what he's got to say about the fouls, too. I think it's going to be great. I think he's definitely going to get himself in some trouble, but I think it's going to be great.
It's just, I don't know how serious I can take LeBron. Because everything is, I don't have a problem with LeBron. I think from a standpoint of what he's done with his community and his whole story that we know, I think is outstanding. I have no problem with
you're really
with
setting up for something.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just LeBron is extremely calculated. So I just don't know how authentic LeBron is. When LeBron laughs, he thought he was gonna laugh. When LeBron is sad, he already calculated how sad or how long he was gonna be sad for. So watching something like that, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think it's going to be good. I think that's like, you know, I think LeBron gets in trouble when he tries to act not like who LeBron James actually, like when he's trying to act cool or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's just talking ball. And like JJ is not, you know, JJ is going to keep it on subject too. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to, I don't think a ton of people are going to listen, which is, to your point, going to bolster J.J. Redick talk. Oh, I can have a conversation with LeBron James, who is the greatest basketball player of all time. I look at the numbers. We get 100,000 downloads per episode. Mm-hmm. But I come on this show, Stephen A., and I say, I don't know if Anthony Davis is a good enough number two. And all of a sudden, it pops. You're right. Like, that's exactly what it's going to be.
It might do well, though. I don't know.
It's going to do okay, but...
So JJ has his own podcast. Now he has this one.
Yes.
And he's still...
Got a media company, too.
Honestly, I don't know when's the last time I actually saw him on First Take. LeBron
he was
now,
on earlier today.
Okay, so he's back on First Take complaining. LeBron now has The Shop.
Yes.
This.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm missing something.
In general, yeah.
Right, but I'm saying things that he has to be on.
He's got his picks, you know, his football picks on his Instagram. Which we were all thrilled to get every single week. I think that's it. Yeah, I mean he's been big into ever since he heard about The Last Dance. He's been big into I need to tell my narrative. I need to get my story out there because that's the thing that's going to keep you relevant in the long run is you talking and people talking about you.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, that's my favorite saying. I always say that.
I just had to tell you something because the clips are all over. We haven't watched yet. We've been doing our own show, fastest growing show in Sacramento.
Right. Take that, LeBron.
Yeah, take that, LeBron, what you got on that. And there is a clip that I saw during one of the breaks where he says two most influential players in the NBA, Allen Iverson and Steph Curry.
I thought he was talking about himself and JJ.
Probably. And since he brought up Steph Curry, for now, this is the third or fourth time.
Right.
I will let you fill in the blanks.
I'm so sick of this. He's not going to San Francisco. It's not happening. It's not. So quit asking. It's just not. I'm so sick of this narrative that's being pushed out by the Los Angeles Golden State Warriors that want to make photoshops of LeBron. All of a sudden, LeBron's not so bad. But, you know, the entire playoff runs where you guys were running into him, he's, you know, the flop and, oh, Steph is so much better. Like, this is all feeding into the Warrior narrative that, oh, you know, we actually have it the best. And people, we're destination. No, you're not. You have Steph Curry, and that's it, okay? That's all it is. And that's not going to attract LeBron James to your basketball team. He is bigger than all of it. He went to the Lakers and said, that's cute that you guys think that you're the brand. I'm the brand. You're going to do what I say. There's a 0% chance LeBron James concedes any power to Steph Curry.
We got to put the ether beat behind that.
Ridiculous, bro. It drives me crazy. I'm so sick of the Clay. Oh, they're going to trade Clay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins for LeBron. No, LeBron is not going anywhere. Well, especially with Bronny staying at SC. He's not going anywhere.
That's a great point.
Because Bronny's transferring to Stanford.
And Jovan Buha, who we had on the show last week, writer for the Lakers, for the Athletic, he said, if anything, there might be LeBron movement not next
the season,
season after
right.
next.
Right.
So not next season. So LeBron would be 41 at that point in time.
Then Warriors can take him. There you go.
That, yeah.
He can just be like the, I don't know, what's the Road Hogs or whatever, that movie with like all the
Road Dogs.
Old actors old, who are like on their...
Old Dogs.
That were on their... Wild Hogs, I think. They're all on their bikes, their Harleys and stuff. That can be what the Warriors are. They can be a nice little retirement town if they want.
Speaking of team hopping, a former Sacramento King great son.
That's right.
Is on the move. Andre Stojakovic has entered the transfer portal because who doesn't?
That's right.
And for the transfer portal these days. And Stojakovic, former McDonald's All-American, top 25 recruit, averaged 7.8 points as a freshman at Stanford. So he didn't waste very much time to say, I'm not really hanging out here. Yeah. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Stanford is in the tournament. So
I'm not sure, yeah.
So, yeah, are you moved at all? Is there any way the Kings get their hands on Stojakovic eventually?
Let's let him get out of college first. I'm interested in where he's even going to look. Like, you know, I would assume, you know, we were talking about transfers the other day and how it seems like you kind of either move down or you move to an open opportunity. And it'll be interesting which route he takes. Like, does he try and, you know, does he try and dominate at a lesser school? I can't even tell you conferences anymore. I need to look at how the realignment's happening. But, you know, he's not going to go to Sac State or UC Davis to dominate.
Big fish.
It would be awesome. It would be incredible.
I think he goes I think that is what he'll do, but maybe not those schools. So
I think
it's got to be a school
that makes sense, though, too.
They were 14 and 18. They were 10 seed in the Pac-12. So, they're not in the tournament.
No.
Their season's over.
Yeah.
What about... I'm thinking WCC.
Again, you're going to have to... I have no
USF,
idea.
USF, Gonzaga, Santa Clara.
I could see Gonzaga.
Santa Clara's put some guys in the league
That's
lately.
That's true. Santa Clara, too, for sure. Yeah, I think it's going to... I mean, Peja obviously has a lot of pull in the area. Like, I think it's going to be somewhere that has some connects. Obviously, Peja didn't go to college here, so there's not any direct link there. But if I had to imagine, they're going to want to keep him semi-local. Like, I think that they would want to keep him in the area. Who knows? Maybe. Like, I don't think it's out of the question to say, like, could he go to USC or something after? Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, I definitely think it's wherever he goes, it's going to be big news. But I at this point, it's just, but let's hope that he, before the Kings can get him, let's just hope he kind of figures out this college thing, because he is an interesting prospect if he does end up panning out. But he's got a bit of a way to go.
Speaking of figuring out this college thing, I'm in about three brackets.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm in three. No,
I filled out one.
No, well, we have the one here, and I'm doing two more. I have one with my buddies. I have multiple. And here's my question. We can do more of this tomorrow. We got crosstalk coming up right now. But my question is, if you do multiple brackets, do you do the same bracket three times? Help me out. I've never done more than two.
Yeah.
Should I spread the wealth, or do I just stick with who I want to roll with. By the way, according to TickPick, they have sold 6 times as many tickets for the women's Final Four compared to the men's Final Four already. We will have more of that tomorrow. We got crosstalk coming up because the question is, the transfer portal that Stojakovic just entered, is it ruining college basketball? When's the last time you cared about a storyline? And we might do a game here. I don't know what's on the line, but we'll make call in, okay? Not women, okay? Men's basketball, because women have more stars right now. We want to know before it starts, and look, Scouts Honor here, who can name the most NCAA men's basketball players right now? And we'll set the over-under, whoever wins, I'm saying 7.5. I just don't think it's out there.
I honestly don't trust people who call in. I think people are going to cheat.
And I don't think Chris can do...
We'll see.
We won't put a number out there.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow. But coming up next, crosstalk with the Drive Guys, Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Whitey Gleason joins us before he gets ready for his show, The Drive Guys. Whitey, were you listening? I know sometimes you get to listen to the show, but this might have been before you got rolling. Did you hear this? All this?
Our month segment? I heard part of it. I think I was able to piece together a little bit here and there.
It's happening.
Where you're going. Yeah.
It's happening. That sounds, we got a nice assist there from our caller, but this has very much a Whitey Gleason vibe of a song that you would make.
No. I don't
know. The play on words? The play on words? We want the monk? Huh?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm on it.
Well, you don't have to now.
I asked Chris last night if he had a monk song.
I didn't. No.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to now, but we're
in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
You guys are doing it. You guys do it.
We are. Not talented. We're moving that to the arena phase. We are moving that to the arena. What was there just seemed like there were a lot of highlights yesterday, and at this point, I think you had tweeted no bad wins or good losses at this time of year. And I fully wholeheartedly agree. There were a lot of highlights, and we want to know what your favorite highlight was from last night.
Favorite is the one that no one's talking about. I almost asked Mike Brown about it. Probably good that I didn't. It's when poor Kevin Huerter, obviously when he got hurt, that was not a highlight. I'm not saying that. He gets hurt, and I heard you guys discussing it, and Chris and I were talking about it. I asked Chris about it. There's that rule. Guys injured can't shoot the free throws. The other team gets to pick anybody they want to shoot the free throws. They picked Lynn. They could have picked anybody.
Anybody. Yeah.
And they go, Alex Lynn, and he knocks them both down.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Right. That set the tone right there. And I wonder.
They did not look at the scouting report.
Right.
Because they would have picked De'Aaron Fox or Tomatis Sabonis.
Or Lawson or somebody, right? That happened years ago, Jabari Smith here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Jabari Parker.
Mason Jones.
Is it Jabari Smith?
I thought it was Jabari Smith, like senior.
Oh, okay. You're talking
way back gotcha, when. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, and I think he knocked him down too.
Do you think that other teams do a lot of, it's not a lot of research. Do you think they just have highlighted in this situation?
Nah.
Or they say who's the biggest guy
the big
over
man?
There?
Yeah, where's the big man?
It's very rare.
Yeah?
I would have gone JaVale too. It was weird that they went Alex Lynn.
It was kind of,
It's like Alex is.
Do your homework, Taylor Jenkins.
And Alex had a great game yesterday too. I think we had a caller mention that Alex's game kind of went under the radar yesterday, but he had 2 blocks himself. I don't know if this is too simple, but he's so good at just being big. Mm-hmm. Like he is a really large presence in the paint that guys. I think they think he's soft or they think he's not as athletic as what he is, but people really challenge him, and more times than not, he's able to hold his own.
We need weapons. Yeah, he told us. If he doesn't make either one of those,
right? That's right.
You do the math.
Yep. Yeah, 6 points.
I'd rather not.
2 for 2 from the free throw, 13 minutes. He had 3 rebounds in 13 minutes. He did have 4 fouls, 2 blocks, and 3 rebounds. Yes, that was more than, of course, Jaren Jackson Jr., who had 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Malik Monk was incredible, though. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. He was so good. I mean, in the, you know, it's coming at the right time. And we were talking about, too, just in general, how everyone's role is kind of stepping up or has to be stepped up with Kevin stepping out. And to me, I mean, Malik now kind of has to be that third option. It feels like every single night. And he's been great here recently, but it's just going to be interesting how now that Kevin's out, or how, we don't know how long he's going to be out for, but just, you know, now it's Keegan. We talked about it earlier. Keegan and HB almost have to be good from three. Now, it was awesome that Keon was providing everything he was, but if he didn't, that would be okay. Now, if he's going to be playing 30 minutes, it's kind of big on him to provide every night. And then Duarte, he's got to step up. Davion, he's going to have to step up. Who are you looking at in terms of, you know, the – because even Sasha, I think that this in a weird way could maybe get Sasha
sure.
some more minutes. Who are you looking at in terms of stepping up from this injury?
I kind of look at it this way. The offense is similar to what the Warriors used to run. It's not the same, but it's similar. And the Warriors' offense, very democratic, but you knew that Draymond Green was not going to take as many shots. He'd have his nights. So my point is, now Keon, it's not like, all right, well, you got to score 50 in a game. It's like, okay, you're still going to get your number of shots. You know, like, well, I don't know what he had last night. Like night before, four, I think he had 8, which was kind of a lot for him. So that means, to answer your question, the way I see it, more shots for Keegan.
Yeah.
Which could be a good thing, but, you know, obviously you want him to go in, and he missed some last night that we know he can make, and he knows he can make.
He took 17 shots yesterday, Keegan did.
Knocked down 6 of them, right?
6 for 17.
And some Keon bozo did a 4. Song about him. 6 for 17, they're doing songs about him.
Gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Kings fans, right?
It's going to be incredibly important for Keegan to get back, and I don't know. Chris and I were talking about just having Keon Ellis and what that could do for Keegan, maybe lighten the load or I guess the pessimistic view is that it's maybe too far gone and he is tired from the season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're gonna need all hands on deck, and Chris Duarte was a name that came up.
Sure.
People want to see more Chris Duarte. He went 2 for 4. He's gonna get his shots up one way or the other. And if the refs are gonna allow more handsy defending, that definitely helps somebody like Chris Duarte.
Pardon me. You heard De'Aaron last night, and it's twice now, where he makes some really just offhanded but very snide comment. And last night it was like, well, then when you're getting tackled out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was after the Laker game, he said, we can pretend they're not calling the game differently, but they are.
That's right.
Yeah, and then last night, getting tackled. By the way, that's what I really like about your Ellis Island thing. I heard you guys talking about Keon. When he defends, he's on the floor, he frees up others to, you know, do other things. And that's like Ellis Island is like, you know, that's where people came here to the land of the free. And like Keon is like the Statue of Liberty in that sense. He frees up the other people to do other things, and he eases the defensive burden on guys like De'Aaron Fox.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And hopefully that continues. I mean, one name that we haven't really brought up is Davion Mitchell with Kevin Huerter out, and really the rise of that 3-guard lineup. Really depends on who is the 3 or who are the 3 in that 3-guard lineup. But I think Davion will have his spots. And I just can't say enough, and I know this might just be making things a little bit simple, but when the games are at home and you show up and you see these guys working, I know there's no defenders, and I know that there's no pressure, but you see Davion in there just working on that jump shot, and then you see it in the game and they just don't fall when you know he's working on it. It's just tough, man, because it's Chris and I were talking about how defensively some people just have the requisite parts to be a good defender, and then they work hard and then they improve. Maybe it's the same for shooting. I don't know, because I'm sitting there watching him. And even Keon Ellis, he was hitting them too. And I know it's different. I know we talked about even JaVale and Alex Len. Everybody, they're in the NBA for a reason. But it just hurts, because I see Keon working so hard to try to get that thing back on the right track, and it just hasn't happened.
Davion, it's tough too when you get, what, 2 shots? You know,
yeah.
I think last night he had 2. You know, you miss a couple. Okay, it happens. Then you have another game. Miss a couple. It happens. All of a sudden, man, I haven't made a shot in 2 games.
Right.
You know? But I think you guys may have talked about this. I was noticing it during warmups last week, and then you look at the numbers, which you may have tweeted this, Chris, if I'm not mistaken. Davion from the corner, maybe it was Deuce. Yeah. Man, he's a good shooter from the corner. Mm-hmm. That short corner.
Right. Yeah.
Woo, he is deadly from there.
Yeah.
So if there's a way, you know, you want right. to, I know it's hard. Guards, it's hard sometimes to end up
to get
you know,
in there.
The corner. Yeah. You kind of, that kind of throws things off a little bit. But man, he's a really good shooter from the corners.
I think of that game, was it game one or game two shot, right? Where he's pretty much sealed the game from the corner. Yeah. I mean, that's where he lives. And
yeah. Yeah.
If they could, I mean, yeah, if you can just kind of, as our friend Alex Len would say, if you can weaponize it, like, you know, I really do think that that could be how Davion finds a spot here, because I do think with Kevin being out, you're probably going to see an uptick in Davion here.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to have to. All right, well, you're going to have to stick around for the drive, guys. With Whitey
Gleason. I have to
stick
around?
You have to. All right. You definitely have to stick around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks to all the calls. This is a really fun show. Thanks to all the calls, all the texts, all the sack chat. Nate Littlefield, thanks for being a good sport. We will talk to you tomorrow. And also 7 p.m. tonight, off nights with Alan Stiles. Hop on YouTube, and I will be there chatting up, talking more Kings basketball if you just can't get enough. We will talk to you tomorrow, Stiles and Watkins. Until then, secure the bag, light the beam.